Kina Chav Gimel, Es Navi, Chatasi, Hashamayma. This is a amazing kina based on the story that is found in Gemara in Gittin, on Daf Nunchas Amar Aleph. It tells the story of the two children, Ben Ubas, Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, the son and the daughter of Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, who were sold into slavery, into Roman slavery. And as the kina describes, they were incredibly, incredibly good-looking, and their masters, the two owners, one bought the boy, one bought the girl, they live nearby, and I guess, you know, they're talking, each one boasting about the new Jewish slave that they got. Oh, I got the best-looking one. Oh, really? I got the best-looking one. Oh, we have, you have a boy, I have a girl. Oh, they both had such good-looking ones. Yisapru, Zelazeh, and Yonam, they each were boasting about Zevazeh, Amr, Mishivrat, Tzionim. They each got from Zion, they got these beautiful slaves. They're so excited, and then they came up with this idea, and they explained that after he says I had a beautiful girl, then he says, "Oh, hey Navi, ba Mishavi Yerushalayim, you got from Zion, I got from Yerushalayim, and you got a beautiful girl, I got a very handsome son. Wow, it's amazing." So they say about halfway through the kina, "Bo vit." Let's put them together. We'll mate them, right? Like animals. We'll mate them. And then we could have even more beautiful slave children. They will have children which we can share. Oh, we'll have the most beautiful, like the stars in the sky. We'll have the most beautiful babies from these two slaves which we can share. We'll make even a greater profit on this. They agreed to this together. And that night they put them in a dark room, each figuring that naturally what would slaves do? Of course, they will be together. Hadoni b'chutz, libam kecha. They were so excited, waiting to see what would happen the next morning. And what happened, says the kina so beautifully, the children, of course, would have none of it. Even though it's pitch black, and it's clear from the continuation, they didn't realize that it was their brother or their sister, respectively, who was in the room. It was pitch black, they couldn't see. But heim bochim b'mar nefesh v'pachad, they cried, and each one stayed in their corner, not even coming near the other one, crying, separating themselves. Ad boker, until the night, bikisim la edmima, vayimima, yamim, yamima. And until, unfortunately, they cried and they saw in the morning's light, it was their brother, it was their sister. Ze yispod bekoy levav yimse nina aron. They couldn't believe it. Each one of them said to themselves, I'm sorry. Each one said, how could I possibly go ahead and do what they want? The boy said to himself, nina aron, I'm a great grandson of Aron. I could be a Kohen, I could be in the base of Mikdash. How could I do such a terrible thing? And his sister at the same time is crying in her corner saying, Bas Yocheved, Eich Le'evet Tinase, how could I possibly be with a slave boy? I'm a Bas Yisrael, I'm a Bas Yocheved. Oy Kizos Gazar Amer V'Yoseh, how could I do this? This is terrible. And finally, Or Boker Zevezeh Kikiru, the morning light came in and they recognized each other. Hoy Achi, Hoy Achos Igbiru, they cried out, my brother, my sister. They hugged each other and they clung together so tightly in such intensity until they died together in loving embrace on that spot. We mourn for that year after year. This is what Yirmiyah lamented, this horrible decree that happened to these two children. Many, many layers of this kina, which is so powerful and so beautiful. Number one is the focus on children, something we've spoken previously. Number two, the focus on individuals. It's not just the macro, it's even the micro. When we have a picture, when we have a story, then it becomes all the more powerful to us. It's important to personalize, as we've done throughout the morning. We all know that broad, vague stories and certainly statistics really just numb our heart and mind and blind us. But instead of the raw or sheer numbers, individual stories or pictures brings the pain much closer to home. It's one thing to say, a million children. It's another thing to read the story and imagine and have in our mind's eye the image of the children of Yishmael Kohen Gadol, or the image, as we saw previously, of Dali Hirsch living in a garbage bin for 4 months. These are pictures, these are stories that personalize things for us. But perhaps on a deeper level, there's a third message. And I believe in years past, I've quoted that I once heard I don't know how to attribute it more than this, but I once heard, I believe it was the name of Rav Eliashiv, that he said the story of the children of Rav Yishmael Kohen Gadol is a metaphor for what happened in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. As we know, the Gemara tells us the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And said Rav Yishmael, as I remember hearing somewhere, that this Kina is a metaphor for that. Because what happened? In the darkness of night, in the darkness of Golos, one group of Jews retreats to one corner and they say, I'm a Nin Aron. I have the right Hashkafa. I'm the right person. I'm a Nin Aron. The other group of Jews retreats to the other corner in their Hashkafa. I'm a Bas Yocheved. I'm the one. I'm special. I have the right Hashkafa. And blinded by the darkness of the night of Golos, blinded by that Golos, we retreat, each of us, into our own corners, into our own communities, just kept company with the confidence that we are the right Hashkafa. We are the right ones. We are the true heirs of Aaron and of Moshe and of Yocheved and of Miriam. Until the morning dawn comes, we see in the light, and the light reminds us of the truth, that in fact, Hoyachi, V'Hoyachos, we may be different, we may not agree on everything, but we really are just brother and sister. We are family. And unfortunately, it's often not until way too late, and often during moments of death, like happened to those two children, that unfortunately we don't see the light. Often it's only in the time of great tragedy that we realize this truth. I've often noted, I wish I didn't have to do so often, but I've often noted that unfortunately it usually takes the blood of, usually takes Jewish blood running through the streets to wash away the stain of Sinas Chinam. In moments of great tragedy, we remember what's important and what's true, but most of the time and most of the year, unfortunately, I'm afraid, we forget that. And this Kina is certainly an opportunity to do something which we have not, I don't think, yet done this morning, and that's speak a little bit about why we're still in this mess, which is Sinas Chinam. If you take a look at the source sheet, source number 7, you have the small selection from the Sefer HaCharedim. That's not a political Sefer. This book was written 500 years ago. The author, Rabbi Elazar Alkalai, was a contemporary of Yosef Karo, lived in Eretz Yisrael. And he wrote an incredible book of mitzvos, known as the Sefer HaCharedim. But in a lot of the modern editions of the Sefer HaCharedim, in addition to the mitzvos, they have various broader religious themes and Musar and Tshuva stuff also in the book. And there, in the Perek Samach Vav, at least in my edition, he says as follows. I'm reading from source number 7. Basina aschinem ksiv lo sisna sachicha bevavecha. Right, the pasuk tells us not to hate our fellow Jew, not to hate our fellow Jew in our hearts. V'hu shoresh kol haros. This is the source of all wickedness. After all, he says, Re'e ma garma sinas Yosef le'achav. Right? Yosef's brothers hated him. They had a sinas chinam to him, and that's what led to his golus, being sent down to Mitzrayim in our first golus. V'al sinas chinam anu b'golus ha'aruch, and it's not just with Yosef and Mitzrayim and his brothers. It's even now, says Yisrael Alkalai, al sinas chinam anu b'golus. We're also in golus for the same reason. Ha'aruch hazeh yoser mikol ha'golios. The longest golus in the history of the Jewish people is our golus. There have been others, but none of them lasted as long as ours, since the time of the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash. How come ours is longer, says the Sefer HaCharedim? How come ours is worse? When it came to the first Beis HaMikdash, the first Churban, Hayu Basibas, Avoda Salilin, they worshipped idols, Gili Arayis, sexual immorality, Shvichus Dami, murder, all of that happened in Bayis Rishon. And yet, after 70 years, the Bayis was rebuilt. Where now, 2,000 years later, still no Beis HaMikdash. So he explains in the last line, Ukeshem Shev Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha Kolel Kiyum Kol HaTorah. We know, famous statement, Rabbi Akiva, Zekla Gadol BaTorah. If you want to know all of Torah on one foot, Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha, the foundation of all of Torah in one sentence, in one phrase. So too, he says, Kach hasina, the hatred of Jews, is lehefech, lavor al kol haTorah. What v'yahavta l'recha kamocha is to good virtues, sinas Yisrael, sinas chinam is to bad virtues. Sinas chinam is the opposite. It has all of the bad, all of the sins wrapped up into one. And I think this is so important for us to underscore and to remind ourselves of, because as I've said this in years past, but I really believe it, that I think that many of us read that Gemara in Yuma with a skeptical, with a jaundiced eye. We hear the Gemara telling us that Shkula, Sinas Chinam, like it's equivalent to the big three of Eros. But then we think about it and we say, probably not. Not really. Come on. Could it really be? And says the Sefer HaCharedim, you have to understand, on some level, it is the equivalent of what Yahav L'Recha Kamoch is. If that's Klal Gadol B'Torah, then this is the Klal Gadol La'avor Al Kol HaTorah. It's the shorish of all bad. It goes against everything the Torah is trying to communicate to us. And we hate our fellow Jews. I saw for the first time just the other day, a remarkable, acute and short, but a very remarkable short idea, in source number 8, from the Sefer Yismach Moshe. The Yismach Moshe, for those who are unfamiliar, is from Rav Moshe Teitelbaum. He lived quite a long life, from the mid-18th to the mid-19th century. He was a Talmud in Poland, of the Choza of Lublin. But then he went to Hungary, and he, again, I'm not the biggest scholar of Hasidus, but I know that he is attributed and given credit for basically bringing Hasidus to Hungary, which of course we know happened later than in other countries. And he is the one who was credited with bringing Hasidus to Hungary. He was a massive, massive genius and Talmud Chacham, a prolific writer in Nigla and in Nistar and Agada and in Halacha. And his Chumash stuff, his Hashkafa, his Nach stuff, is usually under the name Yismach Moshe. So he also has a commentary on Megillas Eicha called Evel Moshe. Source number 8, from Moshe Teitelbaum, the Baal of Yismach Moshe. Of course, it is his descendants, not his direct children, but his descendants became the Rebbes in Hungary of Sziget and of Satmar. And that's why, for example, so many of the Satmar Sfarim are of a Yoel Moshe. He's the Moshe. That's why Moshe Teitelbaum is such a big prominent name for people from Hungarian origins. It all goes back to the Rebbe, the Yismach Moshe. So in source number 8, he says the following. Listen to this. Hine kushya atzuma le'elokeinu. Says, I have a great question on God. If we learn that Yom Kippur gives us forgiveness for everything, lama lo ba Mashiach tekef? Wow, what a question. If we can get kapara when Mashiach comes, get kapara on Yom Kippur, so right, okay, we did it, we sinned a lot, Hashem had to punish us and take away the Beis HaMikdash, but how come when we did tshuva on that Yom Kippur, Hashem didn't bring Mashiach right back, Hashem didn't build the Beis HaMikdash right away? What happened? God, you promised me that Yom Kippur is machaper. However, says the Yismach Moshe, HaTeretz, move on. Kevin the Adayin Mirakade Beinan Haid Ichriv Beitan. He says it's clear that what must be the case, that the very thing that brought down, that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, is still dancing amongst us. And of course that's referring to Chsinas Chinam. Halomavuri says, the Gemara tells us, when it comes to mitzvahs and averos benam lachavero, ein yom hakipurim mechaper ad shiyiratz es chavero. So, if we're still actively violating sinas chinam, if we haven't asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness, we haven't begged for forgiveness, if we have not done tshuva on that, then there is no kapara. We haven't been forgiven. And that's the obvious question. That's the obvious answer to this question. If Mashiach hasn't come, if there is no third Beis HaMikdash, ipso facto, by definition, we know that clearly we have not done tshuva. Now, it's a very clever and cute little idea, which is why I share it with you. But the truth is, we probably don't need a Yismach Moshe to tell us this. We just have to open our eyes, open the newspaper, open the internet, and we see in our communities, we see, unfortunately, there is still Sinas Chinam, this group of Jews blaming that group of Jews, criticizing, etc., etc. And obviously, this is a plague that has been, in the world of marketing and business now, they use the term sticky to describe an idea or a product that catches people's imagination. It's a sticky idea. Unfortunately for us, Sinas Chinam has been a sticky sin. And for a long, long time, we have not been able to overcome it or get rid of it. And unfortunately, despite perhaps sincerely regretting it, but we have evidently not stopped the sin. We've not gotten the forgiveness from our friends and our neighbors we've hurt. And therefore, we can't get the forgiveness from Hashem. And if we're still sinning, we cannot expect Kapara or Mashiach or the third Beis HaMikdash. So it is on that which we reflect as we read about and lament about the story of the tragic death of the children of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol.